Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, ninth in a series entitled Pages from the Living Book, was written by Seymour Wright. The Song of Deborah.
My name is Deborah. I'm old now, very old, and very tired. You wouldn't think it to look at me, but once I led a great army of Israel into battle. Yes, many years ago, I carried a shield and a sword and wore proud armor. It was the armor of a warrior, but it hid the heart of a lonely, frightened woman. Before the battle of which I speak, my name was known throughout the land, for when I was young, I was a judge and a prophetess. I lived with my children and my husband, Lapidot, in a pleasant grove of palms between Ramah and Bethel, and the people came to me for judgment. I gave counsel, made decisions, and offered help and comfort wherever I could.
I want my rights, nothing more.
Well, what of my rights? Must my family starve in order to satisfy you?
Oh, please, each in turn.
It's a very simple matter, Deborah. Isaac's field is next to mine. There's a stream that crosses my land, a little stream, hardly more than a trickle. The rains have been slow and the land is dry. I need every drop of water I can get. But Isaac wants to dam the stream to provide water for his oxen.
Well, how can my oxen live without water?
That's not my concern. I'm a poor man, my own beast of burden. All I take into the field are these hands and this back.
Isaac, is there a well on your land?
Well, yes, Deborah, but it's nearly dry. There's barely enough water for my household, let alone the oxen.
Oxen? If you can't keep them, sell them.
But I'm an old man, Ephraim. I can't work in the field with my hands like you do.
I'm sorry. The stream belongs to me.
Isaac, Ephraim, instead of fighting, why don't you share your strength? Help each other.
I don't understand.
You need water from Ephraim's stream. He has no oxen of his own. Perhaps in return for water, you'll allow him to use your oxen to help him plow.
What do you say to that, Ephraim?
It makes sense. I would be willing, Isaac.
Yeah, so would I. Of course, we'll have to arrange certain times for you to use the oxen.
There was much suffering at that time, for Israel was under the heel of a tyrant, Jabin, the king of Canaan. His captain was Sisera, a cruel and violent man with a strong army and many chariots. And for 20 years, he ravaged the land.
Open up!
Who is it?
Tax collector! Open the door!
Well, there must be some mistake. We paid our taxes just a few days ago.
Those were last week's taxes. This week, two more dinars, or half a talent of grain.
But we have no money and barely enough grain to last us the winter.
Do you defy the edict of the king of Canaan?
No, of course not. But how can we fight?
Guard! Go through the house and seize everything of value.
Wait, you can't. You don't understand.
Taking him? Where are you taking my son?
To the mines, to work. He's indentured to Sisera.
The mines? But he's only 12 years old.
Don't worry. He'll age quickly enough when he gets there.
No, you can't take him. Please.
Get out of the way. I have my orders.
No! Don't take him away! No!
Day after day, year after year, Sisera's terror walked the land, and everywhere the people went in fear. As for me, because of my high position, my family and I were left in peace. So we sojourned quietly in our pleasant grove of palms between Ramah and Bethel, and no harm came to us. But I knew of the suffering, and I wept for Israel. What more could I do? You wish to hear of the battle? Oh, yes, I remember it quite clearly. These days, with Lapidot dead and my children gone to homes of their own, I have little else to do but remember. It began, I suppose, the day that Aaron of Kedesh came to see me.
Peace be with you, Deborah.
Aaron, peace be with you. It's been a long while since your last visit.
My age, my dear Deborah, the years are a heavy burden to carry, even on the shortest of journeys.
What brings you here now? A quarrel with your neighbor? A dispute over land, perhaps, or a flock of sheep?
No, no. Something much more serious.
Something serious?
A man named Sisera.
I sit in judgment on the people of Israel, not on Sisera.
Deborah, if this man continues, there will be no people of Israel.
We've suffered, Sisera, for almost 20 years and managed to survive.
Yes, but each year it grows worse. And each year we get weaker. Our sons are taken away. Our wealth is drained. Whole villages are deserted. Our people live in the hills like beasts. Little by little, Jabin and Sisera are destroying us. Can't you see that?
Yes, of course. I see it. And it frightens me. What will happen to us, Aaron? What?
Mrs. Silpak, Sisera, they fill the rumors and suspicion. They do everything they can to keep us divided and helpless.
Why do you tell me what I already know? What can I do?
You can rally the tribes and unite them against Canaan.
I'm not a king or a soldier. Why come to me?
Because you're a judge of Israel, loved and trusted by the people. You're the only one who can make them listen and act.
Aaron, you ask too much. What you have in mind, uniting the tribes, calls for great strength. The strength of a man.
No, Deborah. The strength of the Lord.
I don't know. It's strange you're coming here today.
Why? What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a vision I had last night. It was a sort of dream, yet not a dream. And in it, I seemed to hear a voice. And it said, "Awake. Awake, Deborah. Utter a song. Arise and lead thy captivity captive."
Perhaps your voice was the same which summoned me.
Perhaps.
How will you answer it, Deborah? With deeds? Or tears?
No. No, not tears. Not anymore. God willing, I'll do as you say, Aaron. Summon the kings of each tribe. Call the princes, all of them. Issachar, Barak, Haber, Gilead, Zebulun, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali. Yes, that's how it all began. Aaron of Kedesh sent swift messengers to each of the tribes, and soon my lovely, quiet palm grove, the heart of my safe little world, was filled with the noise and confusion of a great encampment.
Deborah, what foolishness is this? How can we oppose Sisera's army?
You consider it foolishness for us to want our freedom?
No, of course not. But we're not prepared for this venture.
I agree with Haber. Sisera has 900 chariots, and we have none. The people of my tribe are farmers. Can they oppose trained soldiers with their scythes and plowshares?
Besides, if we try to resist, it'll only make matters worse. They'll take revenge. We'll all suffer the more. No, it's best to leave things as they are.
Robert, don't you see? This is the trap of tyranny. For 20 years we've left things as they are, and each minute we bleed more of our strength.
No, I want no part of this. It can only end in one way. Death and defeat. Israel isn't strong enough to fight, not now.
Barak, what do you say to Haber's argument?
The people of Haber's tribes are shepherds. I say he's lived so long among his flocks, he's become a sheep himself.
Deborah, is this why you summon me? To be insulted by a fool?
Better a fool than an old man who trembles in fear of Sisera.
Barak, Haber, this is no way to... Hear me! Hear me, all of you! Kings and princes of Israel, the time to fight is now, before it's too late. The tribe of Barak stands with Deborah against Canaan.
When everything was said and done, Barak stayed, and with him the tribes of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali. In all, a host of 10,000 men. Many refused to join us, but those who did were strong and without fear. From every part of the land they came, from the olive groves, the harbors, the fields, and the villages, from everywhere they came, with a single purpose, to make Israel free.
Our men are encamping on the plain of Za'anim. Some have brought their own weapons with them. Other weapons are being forged as quickly as possible.
I wish we needed more weapons for more men. Our army's badly outnumbered.
With the help of God, we'll prevail, Aaron.
Yes, with the help of God.
Barak, you're troubled. Is anything wrong?
I've been thinking of what Gilead said about Sisera's chariots. 900 of them, and each one carries an archer with 40 arrows. Deborah, maybe Gilead and Habar are right. Our people have never fought against such an army. When we meet him on the plain, Sisera might scatter us like chaff in the wind.
Then why not meet him where his strength will be of little use?
What do you mean?
Instead of waiting on the plain, our army can gather on the slopes of Mount Tabor. It's steep and rocky there, even if Sisera had 9 times 900 chariots. They would be useless on that kind of battleground.
Barak, the idea has merit.
Merit? A wonderful idea. There's a bend of the river Kishon, which flows around the north slope of Mount Tabor. If we can draw Sisera's army into the right position, we can drive him into the river, chariots and all. We show ourselves at first, then pretend to retreat. Part of our men will wait in ambush. After we lure him into the trap, we close in from several directions, and then...
Barak was fired with enthusiasm for the new scheme. For many days, he conferred with his captains and planned the details of battle. As for me, I was quite ready to return to my peaceful grove of palms. Battles were for men, and my work was finished at last. Or so I thought.
Gilead! Oh, come in, come in. I've been waiting for you.
I came as quickly as I could, Haber. Your messenger said it was urgent.
Very urgent.
Barak, huh?
He's gathering an army at Za'anaim. 10,000 untrained farmers and fishermen, some who've never seen a battle in their lives, to fight against Sisera's 50,000 soldiers and 900 chariots.
Oh, Barak and Deborah are insane. They'll destroy themselves.
And all the rest of us, Gilead.
What do you mean?
When Sisera finishes with Barak's army, he'll turn on our tribes.
Oh, but we've denounced Barak. The Canaanites know that.
You think it'll matter to a man like Sisera? This is what he's been waiting for. Our only hope lies in preventing a battle.
How can we do that? Barak's a fool, but he's a stubborn one. We'll never be able to discourage him.
No, we'll never be able to dissuade Barak. But what about his men?
His men?
No captain can fight without an army. Our problem is to destroy it, to cut the ground out from under it before it's too late.
How are you going to do that? With words?
Yes, Gilead. The right kind of words. We can send trusted men of our own tribes, carefully picked into Barak's ranks. Outwardly, they'll be no different from all the others. But their mission will be to sow doubt and fear. We can confuse his soldiers, weaken their morale, get them to desert. Mm. It's the only way we can stop Barak and save our own necks.
It might work at that.
It will work, Gillian. According to my idea, we'll choose our best men.
So, Haber's plan was launched. Unknown to Barak or myself, his men entered our camp at Zaanaim, and slowly the poison began to spread.
We're outnumbered. Our weapons are inferior. It's hopeless.
But Deborah had a vision just the other night. She told us she saw the Canaanites in retreat. We were victorious.
Oh, come, man. You're a soldier, a realist. Would you put the nightmares of a foolish woman above Sisera's power? We have to do the fighting, not Deborah.
I'll take my chances. Barak is a great general.
Yes, but I heard from a traveler, from his own lips, mind you, that Sisera's anger is past all bounds. When he's finished with us, he plans to turn his soldiers loose to pillage and burn and kill every living thing. I tell you, it would be best if this bloody battle were never fought.
I hear that in each of Sisera's chariots, 50 arrows.
They say in each chariot there's an archer with 60 arrows.
70 arrows.
100 arrows.
It began, and it spread, and soon doubt flowed through the veins of our army. With the doubt came fear. With the fear came despair, and with despair came flight.
What is it, Aaron? More desertions.
200 men during the night. From Barak's own tribe.
200?
It's rumored that twice that number will leave today. The Kenites. I can't understand it. Why should this happen? Why should our army melt away on the eve of battle? Everything is ruined.
Perhaps if I went and spoke with the soldiers.
No, then. No. You can't build an army's courage with pleasant talk, not even yours, Deborah. Of all the weapons we forged, courage was the strongest, and we've lost that.
Haber and the others will be very interested to learn of our defeat.
Israel's defeat. Can't understand. Only there was some way to...
Barak! What's happened? Who is this man?
The source of our infection, Aaron. One of Haber's tribe.
Haber's? But that's impossible.
Camp is crawling with them. Showing fear and panic, getting our men to surrender before the battle's even begun. Haber and Gilead are behind it. They wanted to weaken us. I recognized this man and forced the story out of him.
What we did was right. Your puny little army could never have defeated Sisera.
Do you condemn us for trying to save Israel?
How can you save a nation by destroying it?
We're not destroying it. Israel is being destroyed by Haber and Gilead and men like them. Frightened men who spend their lives on their knees.
Haber is no coward, Barak. He's careful and prudent. And he speaks with the tongue of reason.
There comes a time, my friend, when reason must give way to faith.
Well, no matter. Too late now. Sisera's army is almost here, and our soldiers have no heart for fighting. The damage is done. We're defeated by ourselves.
Don't speak that way, Aaron. There is still a chance. There must be something that we can do.
Yes. Yes, maybe there is. One thing. Deborah, go with me to Mount Tabor.
What do you mean?
It was your vision which helped to make this army. Your presence in the battle is the only way to keep it an army.
No, I forbid that.
Deborah, this is your decision. If you go, I will go too. And Hope will go with us. But if you decide otherwise, I'll order the men to return to their homes. I won't lead them to suicide.
No, Deborah's done enough already.
Israel is dying, Aaron. How much is enough?
What? You're a woman. Fighting is a man's work. It takes the strength of a man.
Once you said I needed the strength of the Lord.
But, Deborah...
Barak is right. I'll go. The people believe in me. If I am with them in this, it will be a sign that I believe in myself and in them and in Israel.
I never heard such ideas in my life. A woman has no place in this. How can you possibly...
My mind is made up. Now, Barak, bring me armor. A helmet, a sword, a shield. Quickly. Almost before I knew it, I was burdened with armor. The armor of a warrior.
At Barak's right hand, I walked to the foot of Mount Tabor. And for the first time, I learned how heavy a sword could be, and a heart. But when we came in sight of the encampment and the soldiers saw me, a great shout arose. It was the sound of many voices, but to me, it echoed a voice I had heard once before in the stillness of my quiet palm grove.
Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, utter a song. Arise and lead thy captivity captive.
Our soldiers waited on the slope of the mountain, according to Barak's plan. And before long, Sisera's troops appeared. Then, with fear alive in my heart, I was suddenly swept into battle. The outcome, we won a great victory, and Sisera's army was completely destroyed. He himself tried to escape on foot, but was slain by Yael, the wife of Haber. And Israel was free once more, free after 20 years of bondage. Of course, all that was a long time ago. And there are few people still alive who remember it. As for myself, I often sit here in my quiet grove and think of Israel and its future. At times I have visions, and in them I see great trouble and great triumphs in the years that follow. I see Israel suffering the yoke of many Siseras and many Jabins, but always victorious, because of the strength and the faith of her people. Not just her men, but her women, too. Women of whom I am one. I, Deborah, I am Israel.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. David E. Bernstein of South Orange, New Jersey, businesswoman and community worker. Mrs. Bernstein.
The story of Deborah is a story of Jewish women throughout the ages and in all places. Deborah could have been happy remaining at home in her quiet grove of palm trees, caring for her family, but she knew that this could not be her complete role. She could have been satisfied with her more important role as judge over her people, but she knew that this also could not be her complete role. Although Deborah herself was not personally threatened by Jabin's reign of terror, nevertheless she responded to the need of her people for leadership. She recognized that the responsibility of a Jewish woman lies not only in caring for her home, not only in counsel, but in action as well. As Deborah felt herself far from the scene of battle, so might American women today feel safe and secure, far from the struggles of their people. Instead, they have concerned themselves with these struggles and have actively participated in resolving them with honor, with courage, and without thought of self. In our times, there have been calls for our people abroad to help save them from contemporary tyrants, and we have done our part to help. We have heard calls for help to immigrants seeking a refuge in Israel. We have responded, and we respond today and will continue to do so as long as we can contribute to their needs. At home, we are called to help not only our people, but all people, to establish and maintain institutions for their economic needs, and we help. As Deborah might have fought to tear down the barriers of racial discrimination, so we do likewise today, here and everywhere. We cannot all lead armies into battle, but like Deborah, our horizons are not limited to our needs and those of our families. Our horizons encompass also areas where justice is endangered and where need is unfulfilled. This is one of our basic religious precepts, and as Jewish women, we are proud to do our part.
Thank you, Mrs. Bernstein. Eternal Life drama today, The Song of Deborah, ninth in a series entitled Pages from the Living Book, was written by Seymour Wright. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today were Bryna Rayburn as the older Deborah and Patricia Bruder as the younger. Others in the cast were Santos Ortega, Lon Clark, Gilbert Mack, Marion Carr, William Griffiths, Merrill Jowles, Arthur Hughes, and Owen Jordan. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present Abigail by Harriet Kopp. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.